It's Ed Till!
It is the Ed Till Show on Starcom Radio Network. Seth Reynes is back on the show. Couple of things we want to do with Seth today. Take a look at 2018, what kind of year it's going to be for the LGBTQ community. Also, it's the first complete year for President Trump. Our guest, Seth Reynes, is a keynote speaker, best-selling author. We welcome him. Great conversation every time he's with us. How are you this fine new year, Seth?
I'm fantastic. Happy belated New Year to you.
You got it. You know, this is about the cutoff, right? I love saying Happy New Year, but people like, Ed, get over it. It's almost February. So I will. Listen, we've talked a great deal because you are a speaker who really reaches out to teens who are having a very tough time. In general, it's not easy to be a teenager. But when gender transition is a part of your teenage years, they really benefit from having someone like you speak to them, give them some confidence, help them navigate, give them some tools, things to think about. So maybe we should begin with that. 2018 looks like, in a lot of areas, it's going to be better than 17. Does this look like one of those areas, the area that you work in?
You know, it's a funny thing that you ask that, because I can sit on either side of that. If you want to really listen to all the news, and we'll call that news, quote unquote, that's going on, you think it's really, really gruesome, and things are just very poorly, you know, going along, and everything seems to be coming undone. And to some degree, some of that could be happening. But then I look at the other side, the stuff that doesn't get the press and the airplay, of all the schools and corporations and any type of association, and even doctors and hospitals surrounding the transgender community, that are putting in all types of workshops and learning sensitivity training and going forward and putting policies that you know, say we accept gender identity in all its form, and we're willing to do what it takes to make everybody feel included. And mostly a lot of that isn't given like airplay and press, but just from being in the trenches, I know there are a lot more people working on this than one would have you believe.
Excellent. Well, that is good to hear. Do you want to pay a compliment
to
somebody?
It's still a slow
ride. Yeah, I was going to say, do you want to pay a compliment to somebody who's getting no press and should? Are there any big mainstream American corporations that are doing the right thing on this?
There are a lot of corporations. I couldn't even begin to name them, because a lot of them I'm not connected with, but I happen to know that some of them have policy. But there are a lot of small corporations, a lot of private corporations that feel they don't need to do that. And they try and, you know, get by under the wire. I know firsthand from some people who are working with those corporations that just can't work with them anymore because they refuse to go forward. And they're not necessarily transgender people. They're just people that just don't agree with the policy or lack thereof. I know, because I talk at corporations, I'm trying to get into hospitals now. I'm working with a major hospital in New Jersey, just trying to advise them and see if we can do some fast-forward education, because there are a lot of employees, you know, from the ground up that really need the same education across the board, and not education that is, you know, three or minus one generation down the line because someone told someone who told someone. I mean, because that's how we get into trouble. I mean, that's the atmosphere I grew up in, you know.
Right,
so,
right.
Just trying to, I guess, I'm trying to deflate the bubble, this bubble that shouldn't be there.
Yeah, right.
Just sort of has gotten a lot of hot air, so to speak.
Uh-huh, so, right.
I'm just trying to, you know, make it as normal as possible so that we can go forward and really deal with things that really need our attention, instead of, as and I quote my mother all the time, but it's true, you know, Nero's fiddling and Rome's burning.
Well, and there you go. This is a great, we have an opportunity today. 2018, give us your opinion on what would qualify as important and necessary now. And let's get away from the stuff that we hear all the time. What should be getting more attention, especially from your experience, but just at large in your field, that's getting no airtime?
Well, when you say airtime, we'll say major airtime. There are many, and you know, bad news sells. So the good news, that's, you know, how that gets squelched. But the thing is, that there are many corporations that are being proactive, that are like ignoring what, you know, the world thinks is doom. And listen, there are some things to be concerned about. I'm not passing over that lightly. But they're it's common sense. They're doing, you know, human nature left at its own. A lot of people, I think, are fairly reasonable. And they're trying to do what they believe is right. And they're looking at their own policies and procedures. And for most people, it's not that big of a deal to adjust their handbooks or to adjust company policy. It's just forward-thinking people. It's people that want to do the right thing no matter what the blab is out there and no matter what's going on. And I just noticed that because every day, I mean, it's hard for me to cite someone because every day I look at Google Alerts and I get all these alerts, and there are places in Minnesota and places in Wisconsin that are, you know, the schools, they're allowing transgender kids and they're putting in policy. And this isn't something that someone would hear in Alabama because it's Minnesota news. But, you know, all over the country, there are a lot of people that are trying to put this into effect, whether it's schools, whether it's corporations, and we're trying for like jobs and domicile, and, you know, just sort of no discrimination across the board, so to speak.
Right.
And
right.
I read that every day on just, you know, I take, you know, half an hour every morning and night to look through what goes on nationally and internationally. You know, if the word transgender comes up in a search or something like that, conferences,
right,
diversity, anything like that, just to kind of get a feel, an overall feel that most people wouldn't be listening to because, look, I get it, it's not their wheelhouse, I understand it, but I'm on and in the trenches, and I just like to have a general feel because if you just let yourself listen to the news, or whatever we want to call the news.
Yeah, right, exactly,
you know,
whatever you want to call it.
We'd be
right,
ready to bail out of a ship already.
Absolutely, you know? No doubt about it. And you do seminars and workshops, so I'm sure,
right,
the contrast between the rooms full of people that you work with, or maybe larger at a seminar, and then the three video bites on the 6 o'clock newscast there, it's
right,
really apples and oranges. So let's stick with the real world.
Right.
Where is the bright spot for 2018? What are you excited about this year that maybe you weren't in the past couple of years, but now it's there? You can see it on the horizon, and you're excited about it.
Well, you and I have talked a lot about that, and I believe that we're on the crest of a wave, and we've been sort of surfing on top of this wave for a while. I think just by seeing, you know, the slow chatter that's low below the cover of more things being done, I think that that's the way the world in 18 is going to pursue, and they're going to be fighting. On the other hand, the major corporations, the major 501s that are behind, whether it's the HRC or PFLAG or ACLU, there are, you know, there's just so many 501s. They're going to be fighting, as they always have been, to take care of what everybody hears on the news, to try and not allow things to get pushed back, to try and, you know, push forward. Will they be successful? You know, there's too many players. I mean, you know, the government right now, you know, there's too many players to say that, but I know there are a lot of people armed on the battlefield. It isn't like it was 20 or 30 years ago.
Amen.
I mean, you see the masses of people coming
right
out, and what's good to see is a whole collective of different types of people, whether it's culture, ethnicity, race, everything, fighting, because at the end of the day, you know, if you don't protect me, who's coming for you next? So
right,
so it's nice to see that people are just trying to champion the cause no matter what they are.
Absolutely. Great point, by the way, right? It that's an old expression. That's, you know what,
oh,
many
yes,
generations
is.
Have
Comes
had to learn that
lesson.
You got it. One, first they came for, then they came for,
yep,
then they came for me. Very simple. All right, your book, Real Talk for Teens, A Jumpstart Guide to Gender Transitioning and Beyond. Top five Amazon bestseller, no doubt. People can get it from your website, www.sethrainis.com. What do people need to keep up with, or how do you follow what's happening with gender transitioning? Get your book, a good starting point, but is this a difficult thing if it's part of your life to know, oh my God, this is a company I should apply to, this is a company I should avoid, this is a good
right,
neighborhood
right,
for me to live in, this is a
right,
neighborhood I should watch out. Practical application, how tough to do this navigation? Again, here we are at the beginning of a new year.
Well, I mean, HRC.org has what they call a corporate equality index. They've been doing it for years, and they list, I don't know how many they've got now, but it's quite a bit, 500,000, you know, it just keeps going up, of all the LGBT-friendly major corporations. I mean, when you're starting at the top and working down, of course, you know, they're not going to have your local coffee store, but I'm just saying the major corporations, and they tell you exactly where they rank on their index. And so that's a good start.
Awesome.
The state laws, I mean, in New Jersey, we have a law against discrimination, and that's against everything, public accommodation, corporate, schools, anything that's in the public. You just can't do that against, you know, race, color, just everything, and gender identity and gender expression and sexual orientation and everything. So, I mean, in the state, we have small corporations, you know, they find that out, unfortunately, the wrong way if someone pulls a lawsuit. I mean, right now, I basically say to corporations that I'm the guy that prevents you from getting a lawsuit.
Nice.
You know, you need me to come in there. You need me to come in there and do some, you know, sensitivity training and explain the whole thing so that you're protected or you're potentially, you know, armed to go to battle if that should happen. But if you do this, chances are you're going to avoid a tremendously expensive lawsuit.
Right. Now, here's a tough question because it's evolving in the moment, okay? There is no answer on this yet, but I thought it was fascinating. And if you were watching the news that day, I know this would have caught your attention. Did you notice that the case of the baker who doesn't want to bake the gay wedding cake has made it to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the justices were asking questions of both sides?
I followed it to that point. Right.
Excellent. So here's one I hadn't heard, but I'm going to tell you, I think there's going to be more of this. I think it was Justice Kennedy said, very little has been said about how this is for the religious person who is now being told how to behave and believes that this is rubbing up against their religious belief. Now, I don't know how it's going to end, but I have to say that's not bad. We shouldn't be just telling people this is how you'll speak and behave.
Right.
We're going to have to give some voice to them. And I thought that was a good sign. I said, okay, this is probably not going to be a steamrolled decision. Everybody ears up. Tomorrow, here's where you park. Here's what you wear. Here's what you'll call me.
Right.
So what's at stake there on that side? That we do have to have something for the people who find this a completely new way of dealing, right? For them, it's brand new. As backward as it may be, that's their reality. What's important to have them buy in to the total society and say, look, I may not be crazy about this change, but this is still America. This is why I'm going along with it. You know what I mean? It's got to be somewhat voluntary.
You know, I can see both sides. I think it could be a slippery slope for a lot of other things. I mean, there's also a new thing out that, you know, if you're a physician and you don't want to treat, you know, certain clients, you don't have to do that. That's another thing coming down the pike. And then you wonder what that's going to be with the Hippocratic Oath. But, I mean, I personally, and remember, I'm older, so it's different. I personally, I'm like, well, you know what? Then I'll find somebody else to give my money to. I mean, and I know that may not be what everyone wants to hear, but you know what? We do live in America, and will that create more hatred? Possibly, because you can see both sides of it. But then you can also say, okay, these are the people that aren't going to be with us or aren't going to be on our side. Let's go somewhere else. It's a very difficult. It's you know what it is. It's opening up Pandora's box, and if you go down this road with this particular, you know, result, whatever the Supreme Court's going to do, if it happens to go that way, what's next? And a lot of people perceive it as a huge step backwards, and maybe in some cases it is. But this is the movement. This is like the undercurrent movement and I'm going to say, for lack of a better term, it's a religious movement, because that's where we seem to see it perk up, always in a religious sector or a religious subject, against what's going on. And unfortunately for transgender people, because that's where a lot of it's coming from, and the LGBT community, you know, people feel that that's being forced down their throat. But it's like, you know, the old adage, you know, if you don't believe in gay marriage, don't marry one. I mean, you know, nobody's going to tell you what you can do and what you can't do, but what concerns me the most is the hatred underneath of it.
There you go. Well, I think, see, that those two are linked, right? They certainly feel like every day they're being told how to speak. I think that's what they feel the country has become. This decade, we're doing African-Americans, no, Afro-Americans, no, Black Americans, the hairstyles in Afro, and before you know it, you go, nah, you're just playing with these words, but you can't really pin them into meanings, and then everybody's going to be wrong. In other words, everybody who makes a good faith attempt at, so I wonder if maybe we're going to begin the era now of, we have to accept each other, right? In other words,
I would love that to happen, absolutely. Right. I think there'd be a lot less trouble.
And acceptance in the old days meant, look, you're going to have to accept people you don't like. You're not going to get to fix them to your liking, and only then do you like them. You're going to have to like people that you don't like. Imagine that. You know, they actually do stuff you don't like, yet you are going to be respectful. You are going to smile at them. You're going to greet them, and you're going to go on without interfering at all. And, of course, my dad, you'd have to use duct tape to make all this happen. You'd have to tie him down in a chair and never let him say a word for the rest of his life. That'd be great, right? But if my dad is going to keep speaking, well, then I knew right then and there, well, we're going to constantly be calling the referee to get a call on this. So I think that's what I heard in that Supreme Court thing. I said, well, look, maybe we're going to give people some respect here. Even though they're not going to like the ruling, they may feel better about the judge. The judge didn't just castigate them, look down at them, criticize, condescend, and give them a lousy ruling. Maybe the ruling can be, you know, more inclusive, more encouraging, you know?
I think whatever the ruling, one side won't be happy. And but you know what? You know, you get a football team. They're on the field. One's going to lose and one's going to win.
Right.
You know, and you have to learn to, you know, either regroup, suck it up, or try a different avenue or a different approach. You know, there are people that are going to hate. I mean, when I was a kid, my mother would say, you can't be friendly with everybody in the class. You be friendly with the people you could be with. And if the other ones don't want you, go on.
Right.
You know, move on. And how many times in our life do we go forward because of what changes in our lives, and we have to let friends go because they're our family that are toxic to us in all different kinds of ways? I mean, you can stay in that pool or you can move on. It doesn't make it easier, but you know, this happens in life with everything. It's pinpointed to this particular thing, but everything in life is that way because everything is about change. And sometimes you do have to say goodbye to people that are toxic and you have to move on.
Right.
And I mean, like, I work hard for my money. If someone, you know, is going to do that to me, I'm out of there. I mean, that's me. I've walked out of doctor's offices at my age who I felt were not respectful.
There you go.
Because you're not going to be able to, you know, sway everybody on your side. And I deal with that a lot when I speak, when pastors and ministers and reverends come up to me and they want to talk, and I already know where they're coming from, and I don't expect to convert them. All I expect to do is say, look, this is the situation. There are these type of people that exist. And you know what? I get that it may not coincide with you or jive with you, but at least be mature and responsible enough to say, look, maybe you should go here to this resort. So I found something for you. And that's all you can ask.
That's
of
it.
People.
Oh, man, you say it so beautifully. All right, listen, I'm watching the clock here. I want to keep an eye on that, not run over. But do you mind, let's say you're talking to somebody right now who over the weekend found out niece, nephew, grandchild, somebody is gender transitioning. They bit their lip. They didn't say a word. They waited till they got home, started Googling like crazy last night. What does this mean? I know I've heard it before. Oh, my God. And now they're the ones, right? The senior here is the one who needs the jumpstart guide. Would love to read your book. Tease them a little bit. What kind of things would they find in the Real Talk for Teens book that would help an older person in the family who wants to do right, who wants to understand this young person, and could use your book as a way of introducing themselves to the language, the concepts? Go ahead. What could they use right away?
Well, I think basically in the book, it's written for teens, but what I found out is adults get more of it because they understand from the perspective of the teen or the child, or even an adult, actually, because some of the emotions are the same, exactly what that person's going through, what stress they're under, whether it's telling someone, coming out and saying, I'm this, or having to disclose who they are in a dating relationship and the potential danger they could be in a bad situation. It's how do they get along with their friends? What are they going to do with their life? Because remember, when we talk about transitioning, it is a journey, but the medical and surgical side, if they choose to do it and they don't, is not all that person is. Just like you have this talk show, that's not all you are. That may be a significant part of your life, but there's other parts of Ed. And at least the family, the parents, the grandparents, whoever it may be, can understand from the child's perspective, plus they've got terminology. I define what they mean so they understand it, so these words are no longer, you know, sound Greek to them. And I explained very simply, if you choose to transition medically and surgically, these are, at this moment, the options of what is involved. And so they've got a baseline. And then they go, wow, I know what that term is. I'll go on the internet and look for more information on that term. Plus, I've got like 15 pages of resources in the back.
Wow.
From legal to medical to surgical to educational. There is, I mean, right now, I mean, you can just go, if you want to see 3D versions, just go Google, like, you know, on YouTube, FTM, which is female to male, or MTF, which is male to female, and you're going to see all these people who courageously have put up videos showing you in 3D and live how these people are transitioning, what problems they're going through, what they have. And this way you got empathy from people, because it's not black and white anymore. You're now looking 3D at people, and you're honing in on their joys and their sorrows, and just like you would in everybody else's life. But you get that's a good part of, I guess, the internet, an inside view of someone's life.
You know, I'm hearing, and I'm going to ask about it because it's happening in my head. I bet you could write a guide for the parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts. I bet you that would be welcome in this community. You know,
that's in the back of my book.
Good.
Actually, there's a six-pager, you know, like, oh, my God, my child's transgender. What do I do? So
yeah, right.
There is six or seven pages in the back that give them the first thing of what to do, because, you know, if someone comes up to you, your expression is what that person's going to remember forever.
Right. Wow.
So,
yeah,
but
man.
There are many support groups.
Right. Well, listen, this is what's great about what you do, right? You have a certain amount of courage yourself. You went through this on your own, and now that helps you get in there where you just know the level of awkward is off the chart. You know, they really
don't know.
And so many that don't know really do have love and affection for these kids. And I say kids with, you know, quotes around it. They're not kids.
And adults as well. You
That's
know?
Right.
And adults
right.
as well. And,
right.
and it makes a difference, because anybody can stand there with a PowerPoint.
Right.
You know, and start, you know, the black and white till your eyes roll back. And I do that sometimes with collaboration with a friend of mine who's a psychologist who does the black and white, but then I'm the other side of it. I'll now take it and I will interpret it as to what that means in my life as a human being. I'm a walking, talking 3D version of what you just saw in there. And when people feel better, when they can ask me direct questions that maybe they can't ask someone else, they don't want to ask someone else, because I'll answer anything anybody asks me. Because my point at this point in my life is to make sure that kids don't live the way I live. And they shouldn't, and they probably won't, because we are in a different environment. Even though we've got some, you know, some fires burning, we're in a different environment than we were 30 years ago.
And thanks to you. I think that's thanks to you and people like you really pioneered it.
A small sliver for me.
It's a pioneer.
Yeah.
It's a pioneer job. You know, 5 years ago.
You know what happens to the pioneers, don't you?
That's right. They're the ones with the arrows in their back. That's what they say on Shark Tank all the time. That's what Mr. Wonderful says.
Exactly.
You want to be a pioneer? Get used to having arrows in your back. Well,
right.
You know something,
right.
You're terrific, and you have built up with us a great, great residual of goodwill on this subject, and we love that. It's easy to get everybody.
I love chatting with you. You make my day.
Ah, thanks, man. Same here. Well, listen, everybody now knows why your book is a bestseller. I love this quote about your book. It's on your website. A much-needed roadmap for what is still an uncharted journey. What a generous gift. You are transformational, man. You're a great speaker. You bring the energy. You bring the truth. And you bring the endurance and durability that this subject and these people require. God bless. You know, you're always welcome here. We love having you on. Thank you for doing this in January to look ahead to the year a little bit. And we look forward to the next time you're on with us, Seth.
Always available for you, Ed. Have a great day.
You too. Seth Reines, awesome, right? Incredible author, speaker, social leader. Go to SethRaines.com, SethRaines.com. It's the Ed Till Show on Starcom Radio Network. News, weather, traffic, and sports from your local stations. Then we're back with more.